Well, this is a big week for the Hook family. All right? Because this is the first time in a number of years that we're having a wedding anniversary, my wife and I, and she's actually not off at an LWML convention. But I'm off on a Salka retreat. And on Tuesday or Thursday, oh, I never remember what day it is. Oh, well. One of these days this week, she's not here, so she can't yell at me. 25 years of marriage. 25 years of marriage. Wonderful thing. Now, when I married her 25 years ago, she was fresh out of college, and she was a teacher at a Lutheran high school down in Phoenix. And she taught English, and she taught speech and typing and world geography, but she was also the drama teacher, okay? Now, this is a little-known secret about Mrs. Hook. She was a drama teacher, and she would do these big productions, and then after the big productions, all of the kids wanted to show their incredible appreciation to Mrs. Hook for the production, right? So what would they do? They would come to our house in the middle of the night, and they would toilet paper our house. As if this is a wonderful thing for us. Now, the first time it happened, I'm looking, and I got all the toilet paper, everybody. We had this big, huge tree in the front of our house. I don't know what kind of tree it was, like a mulberry or something like that. It was a big, big tree. And I don't know how they got the toilet paper in this thing. And so I'd pull the toilet paper, and it would separate, and I had toilet paper on this tree. I tried everything to get toilet paper out of this tree. I even took the hose, figuring maybe I could squirt the toilet paper out of the tree. That doesn't work, does it? No, because it congeals like this. If you were to go to that house today, you would still find toilet paper on that tree. So I was explaining this to my mother because my wife was coming up with a big production, and I knew that we were going to get toilet paper. And I knew that, and so I was just frustrated. So what am I going to do to get the toilet paper out of the tree? And my mother says, well, you know what we used to do? I said, no, what? She said, well, we used to burn the toilet paper. Now I'm an engineer, so this makes sense to me because I know that toilet paper has a much, much lower combustion rate than anything else. And I said, Mom, that makes a lot of sense. So I was going to take a flame, and I was going to burn off the toilet paper. So sure enough, she did this production. And sure enough, woke up the next morning, and there's toilet paper everywhere on the tree. Got toilet paper everywhere out, got it all picked up, and the tree, and I turned to my wife and I said, I'm going to get that toilet paper out of the tree. Just watch this. And I took a match and I lit the toilet paper on fire. At which point, the whole tree caught on fire and started burning. So I run over and I grab the hose and I'm trying to put out the fire in the tree, and my wife is laughing on the ground, and I finally get the fire out, and now I've got a scorched tree and congealed toilet paper. And I am no better off than where I started. And I was very upset, but we lived through it. But see, it made sense to me because I know the process of purification. And purification is when some things can take the heat and some things can't take the heat. And so you apply a little bit of heat, and the things that can take the heat, they don't get affected, but the things that can't take the heat, they're burned up. And you see it all throughout this world. You see it in metallurgy. You see it in everything. You see it in the wheat and the chaff, where if you want to get rid of the stuff that doesn't matter, sometimes heat will get rid of it, but the strong stuff will remain. That's what we're talking about today as we finish up this sermon series on Peter. It's been a very difficult sermon series for my wife because she writes the children's messages. And so every week she comes to me and she says, what are we talking about? And I said, suffering. And so for 5 weeks she's like, I can't talk about suffering for 5 weeks. So she comes up with some great messages. But we're talking about suffering, okay? And that's the whole purpose of the point of the book of Peter. You have to remember that he was writing to people who were suffering because of their Christian faith. And he wanted to encourage them. He wanted to give them love and hope and say suffering is okay. And so we're talking about suffering in the book of Peter, in this letter that he writes. But what Peter talks about to us today is that suffering in your life will make you stronger. Suffering and strife will make you more in tune with God. And that if you let God use your life so that you will be strong through the suffering, you can be at the end of your life or at some point in your life that strong tree or that strong thing that can always endure. We're going to look at that today. If you always wanted to know what it would look like, how do you become a Christian that can withstand all the suffering in life, that you can live through it and become stronger through it? That's what Peter's talking about today. And so we go into 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 12, 1 Peter 4, 12, where Peter writes, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the, in my translation, the fiery ordeal that has come on to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." And that word that's translated a bunch of different ways, but here in the new NIV, it's a fiery ordeal. That word in the Greek is a word that's pyrosis, and it's used for the refining of metal to get out all the imperfections in metal. And if you listen closely to that word pyrosis, you hear the word, if you're an English-speaking person, you might hear the word purify, because God is going to use your life and he's going to purify you. And this would have been something that Peter's listeners would have understood, because back in those days, they would mine for ore, they would mine for gold, and they would mine for silver, and they'd break it apart, and they'd use different sieves and things to try to get rid of all the rocks and all that sort of thing. But at some point, they would take that material, and they would put it in a big furnace, and they would heat it to a very, very high temperature. And as they did that, the silver or the gold or the fine metal would come together, and it would not burn off, but everything else would burn off eventually. And that's how you knew you had something very, very pure, is that it would burn off everything else so that all that was remaining was the pure metal. But let me tell you something. It took incredibly hot and intense heat to do that. Incredibly hot and intense heat to burn off what they called the dross out of that metal so that all that was left was the pure metal. You see, God, according to Peter, is doing that to you. He is purifying your life so that it burns off all those things that are not necessary, and all that remains is the stuff that is necessary. Because in our lives, we live in a world where we serve God, but we also live in the world around us. And we have to make choices. And it says in James that we're divided people because we choose God, but then we also choose the things of the world. But there are times in this life when God decides to crank up the heat a little bit to find out really which will survive in your life. And sometimes it can be a very, very painful process. For example, you might work at a job, and you might tell everybody, "I'm a Christian, and that's not a problem, and it's not a problem with your boss or your company or something like that." But then your boss may come to you one day and say, "I need you to do something," and you realize almost instantaneously that that is not the correct Christian thing that you should do. And maybe this is a job that you've been in for a long time, and maybe you know that if you stand up to your boss at that point, your boss might go away, the company might go away, your whole career, your whole future might be on the line, and yet you know that God wants you to stand firm on this point. Now that's cranking the heat up a little bit, because you have to choose. You have to make a hard choice between, do I want job security and to follow what my boss is saying, or do I want to follow God? And some of you in this room, I know, at some point have had to make a choice like that. And that is where the heat really kicks up a notch. Or some of you in high school or college, I mean, you know that God wants you to marry a nice, fine Christian spouse, and your parents have said you need to marry a fine Christian spouse. And so you go to college, you go to school, and you say, yes, that's fine. And it's not really that big of a difficult. But then you're in college class one day, and in walks somebody that just absolutely takes your heart and your breath away. And you start to meet this person and talk to this person. And you know that your mom's saying, every date's a future mate, every date's a future mate. But all that goes out the window because you are just absolutely 100% connected to this person. And you realize, I could spend the rest of my life very easily with this person. That's kicking it up a notch. That's when the fire really hits home. And there's several situations all throughout this life that you run into where God will put the fires and tests in you in this life so you can understand what it really means to follow God. So that when all is left and remaining, you realize that the one thing you would never, ever give up in your life is God, is faith in Jesus Christ. There's an anecdotal story that was on the internet for a long time. I haven't seen it. But it was about a metallurgist who was refining silver, and a preacher came to him and he says, how is it that you know when the silver is refined enough? And he says, well, I boil it to be really, really hot and really, really hot to the point where it becomes a smooth glass. And then I can look and I can see my reflection in that glass. He says, then I know that it's been purified. And the preacher said, you know what? That's exactly what God does to us. He keeps purifying us and purifying us and purifying us until he can see his reflection in us. That's the purification that Peter's talking about. But he goes on. Just listen again to these words. He's in verse 12. He says, dear friends, do not be surprised at these things that happen in your life. You know, a lot of Christians, they say, well, I'm a Christian. God's going to just treat me just fine. I'm not going to have any things in my life. It's just going to be rosy pink and everything. And then when the trials come in their life, they look at God and they say, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you making such difficult things in my life? I don't understand. God, do you not love me? But Peter, this is a command from Peter. If you look at the Greek, it is a command. Do not be surprised. Because when you're not surprised, you understand that sometimes God will put things in your life to test you. Sometimes God will look at your life. You know, when people, sometimes they go through these things in my life, in their life, sometimes, not all the time, but they'll come and they'll talk to me and they'll say, why is God doing this in my life? And I listen and I say, oh my goodness, I have no idea. And I grieve with them and my heart aches for them. But way back in the back of my brain, especially if it's something really, really difficult that they're having to go through, in the back of my brain, I say, I wonder what this person is going to look like in, say, 5 or 10 or 15 years. Because you know that once they get through this test and they hold on to God and they know that the power of the Holy Spirit is working in their life, these people, they'll either go one or two directions. They'll either hate God, they'll turn away from God, and they'll run away, or they'll hold on to God and they'll cling to God. And when they do that, they become gentler, more empathetic, loving people because they know that God was with them. And you know these types of people. You've been around them, people who've gone through incredible ordeals in their life, and they just are loving, compassionate, caring people. God says, don't be surprised. Peter says, don't be surprised. Instead, he says, rejoice. Rejoice, this is chapter 4, verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Rejoice when you go through trials and temptations, because at some point all of this will be revealed in your life. And all the suffering that you went to, it will be revealed in your life. Jesus said the same thing on the Sermon on the Mount. This is not new with Peter. Jesus said in Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets that were before you. And they persecuted Jesus, the most perfect man who ever lived, the perfect, the only perfect man that ever lived on this earth, and they persecuted him. They spit on him. They denied him everything. The friends ran away from him. And he had lived a perfect life, and yet he was suffering greatly. You know, Christianity is the only religion in which God suffers. In other religions, their God is a great moral example and teacher, and if you just follow him, your life goes well. Or in other religions, God is this ultimate powerful force, and if you just obey him, then he'll destroy all your enemies. But only in Christianity does God become flesh and dwell among us to become the suffering servant. Jesus Christ left everything on this earth and left everything in heaven, came to this earth and suffered so that you would ever, never be separated from God. And he's the only one that has done that. And the suffering that you occur in this life that happens in you, they're building stars in your crown. We tell this to our kids whenever they're going through stuff, and we say, it's putting stars in your crown. And they say, we don't want stars in our crown. We want this to go away. But it is. It's stars in your crown. And someday, when you live with God in eternity, you will find out everything about why he put you through the stuff that he did. You know, there's been a lot of sermons, actually, about gravestones that says you've got your birthday in the dash and then your death day. And a lot of stuff happens in that dash. And about how, you know, wonderful that dash is and what a gift of life that dash is. But you know, there's another dash after your death day. You're born, there's a dash, you die, and then there's a long dash after that. I figure someday if I die and I'm blessed to have a gravestone, I want my birthday, a dash day, and then I want another dash that never ends. Because someday, because of Jesus, we will be living with him in eternity. And we will be living in that dash. And we'll understand all the things that he was doing in our life and how he purified us. So ultimately, according to Peter, the way that you become that strong, solid oak is to rely on God, to let him purify you, to let him get rid of all the stuff that's unnecessary. And at some point, as you do that time and time and time again, he works in your life to create a tree that can withstand toilet paper at some point. You know, that tree that was in my front lawn that I'm going to burn the toilet paper off of. Now that I look back, I was preparing for the sermon. It's like, you know what? Of course it burned. It was a tree that probably should never have been planted in the Phoenix Desert, for one. So it was probably one of those trees that wasn't getting enough water. And I had never gone through and thinned out all the dead branches and dead leaves and stuff that were in that tree. But what if, and I wish I'd have thought of this 25 years ago, but what if I started watering that tree and taking care of that tree and going in and getting rid of all the dead branches and caring for that tree? And maybe even taking a piece of toilet paper and burning it and seeing, oh, that won't survive, and cutting off those branches. And making it so the point would be that when my wife's students came and toilet papered it, I could with all confidence know that I could light the toilet paper on fire and the tree would be unharmed. See, that's what God is doing in your life. He's purifying you. Perosis in your life so that you can withstand the temptation, you can stand tall and understand all the temptations and trials that go in your life. What a blessed thing. In Jesus' name.